few words. How many words? Oh, gosh, I don't know how many words. Let me show you. I'm going to show you some examples, and I'm not going to count the words, but I'll hold it up for you. Okay? I'll just show you physically.
You said one paragraph really tight and one...
Often what happens is the first thing you have to do is write one very tight paragraph, or at most two. And the second thing you will often be asked to do, if that works, is to submit a longer plot outline of a page. Okay? Occasionally, you will be asked for a more complex outline of two or three pages. But usually, it's one to two paragraphs, or one page, and then subsequently one page. We're just going to deal with the one paragraph part here. Okay. In 2009, in the fall this year, I have a book coming out, which I don't have a cover for yet, called The Widow's War. It's going to be published by Putnam and Berkeley Books. Berkeley Books, by the way, has nothing to do with Berkeley, California. It's even spelled differently, something that confuses everybody since I live in Berkeley. In fact, they can't spell in New York the name of the town I live in. However, this is the one paragraph plot summary on which this book was sold. One paragraph plot summary. Yeah, I'm going to, yeah. But she said how many words. I just want you to see, you know.
Like how many lines?
How many lines? Okay, you know, I've never counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines. Okay, single space. Okay, so here's a plot summary for this novel. Now, mind you, it has a particular problem, which is that it's a historical novel. And if your editors and agents and are like most Americans, even well-read, which is they're more likely to be, they know nothing about history. I once took a survey in one of my upper division, which means junior, senior, advanced composition courses, which are all English majors. And I said, you know, I just read this foolish thing that said that most college students don't know what century the Civil War took place in. And I said, you know, that's silly, right? And there was this funny silence, and I said, And I kind of backtracked. I said, well, you know, that's not such a bad thing. That's an army you don't know. Half of that class did not know what century, I'm not talking what year, what century the Civil War took place in. Now, I imagine there are, you don't have to raise your hand, but I imagine there may even be people in this room who don't know what century the Civil War took place in. So I have to provide some information because this not only just takes place during that era, it takes place in the... in what's called Bleeding Kansas, just before the Civil War, which was unbelievably violent, and where the Civil War was fought before the Civil War was fought nationwide. Abolitionists and slaveholders fought each other in Kansas in a bitter, violent Civil War with troops, guns, sieges, mortars, all of the stuff you would imagine for the Civil War over the question of slavery in Kansas just before the Civil War broke out. And they did that for almost 7 years before the Civil War broke out. So I have to get this in the beginning, okay? Not only do I have to get my plot in, but this is a historical novel. So I am faced with making the plot interesting, making the characters present, and letting people know what the heck is going on. So here it is. In 1854, fierce fighting breaks out in Kansas as abolitionists and pro-slavers flock to the territory to vote in a plebiscite that will determine whether the state enters the Union free or slave. For the next 7 years, until the Civil War officially begins in 1861, pro-slavery raiders like psychopath William Quantrell massacre abolitionists, and abolitionists led by religious fanatics like John Brown retaliate. Married to a pro-slaver who betrays her, and in love with a handsome abolitionist doctor, 23-year-old Carrie Vinton is caught in the middle of this struggle. When a band of pro-slavers kidnaps her lover and 15 free blacks, she arms a band of African Americans and leads them across the border into the slave state of Missouri on a rescue mission. This is a fast-paced, compelling tale of courage, devotion, divided loyalties, and all-consuming love that borders on obsession. So that's the plot of the novel. Thank you. Even better than beautiful, effective. Okay, so notice some things about this. I gave the historical background and some dates, right? I made it clear that the fight was over slavery and that it was very fierce. Words like psychopath and fanatic, you know, and fierce fighting and violent. I have a love story of betrayal and divided loyalties, of hostage-taking and kidnapping. I have a story of courageous African-American soldiers who go and rescue their own people who have been kidnapped. Actually, it's their own families in Missouri. And my character doesn't actually lead them. They lead themselves. They've been trained by John Brown, who is the great abolitionist. But she guides them there. She rides with them. And then I say that it's fast-paced, it's compelling, and divided loyalties, which is big, good. And then I talk about the love choice in the novel. So those are all, it took me about 2 weeks to write.
Wow.
So it doesn't look like that. It looks easy. It's been very helpful. Very helpful indeed. Okay, let me give you some other examples here. All right. Let's do a genre fiction novel. Payback Time. Sorry, it's not called Payback Time anymore. Sometimes the titles get changed. The Widow's War was originally called The Fortune Hunter's Wife. This was originally called Payback Time. No matter what you title your novel, they will change it. Okay, so here we go. But fortunately, usually they consult you. Not always. Sometimes they literally take it to Barnes & Noble and they ask the clerks, do you think this title will sell? Break that to you. Okay, so here we go. Now, mind you, sometimes the novels change in the writing, but once you sell a novel based on this, I can't go right. If I sell The Widow's War, people, what comes out in the fall can't be about a circus running through Germany in the 1930s. You know what I mean? I'm bound to write something like it, but obviously some of the things changed. When I wrote the novel The Widow's War, which I'm just copy editing now, I discovered that Quantrell, the psychopathic killer, was actually not in Kansas right at the time I wanted him. So I changed things around. You know, I just made my own psychopathic killer. That's the nice thing about fiction. They're easy to find. Synopsis. When her fiancé stands her up at the altar in a particularly humiliating fashion, Thea Bocchetti converts part of her successful matchmaking business into payback time, a service that offers to help jilted lovers take revenge. Soon she is giving revenge fantasy seminars and discreetly suggesting her clients get even in hilarious ways that are perfectly legal. But suddenly someone seems to be taking revenge on Thea. The IRS audits her car insurance is canceled, her credit cards are stolen. When the husband of one of her clients turns up dead, Thea discovers that her own ex-husband Sam is one of the prime suspects and that she is in danger of being arrested as an accessory to murder. Thea and her ex haven't spoken in years. Now they're forced to join forces to clear their names, find the murderer, and in the process learn to trade revenge for love. Okay, that's sweet revenge. Plot changed a little, but it's basically that. I had so much fun coming up with revenge stuff in here. Stuff that wasn't illegal or damaging or horribly dangerous, but, you know, really debilitating. You know, like donating money to some cause that the person totally hates so they get spam and email from them for the rest of their lives. I just leave that in the
feed. Beg
pardon?
Is that available now?
Yes, it is. It's available. A lot of these things are, you're going to have to get them online because they were published a while ago. They're still in print, and, you know, you can get them. I prefer everybody to always buy things at bookstores, particularly independent bookstores, but some of these, The Widow's, The Notorious Mrs. Winston should be easily available in bookstores. These are definitely have to be ordered because they were just put back in print through the Authors Guild, so they have to be ordered online. Sweet Revenge and The Stand-In, maybe you may find those in bookstores. Try bookstores first, always. Yeah.
Could you show us the text?
Oh, show us this? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a double space.
Thank you.
If anything, it's short. Okay, once again, let me just hit the high points here. This is a comic novel, so I've made it funny. A little bit funny, anyway. I've shown the premise. I think the premise itself is funny, the idea of a revenge consulting service. People told me I should stop writing and set up that service and I'd make more money. I give some specific examples of things that are happening, and then I put something at stake big time, which is clearing your name from murder. So it's kind of a murder mystery. novel, a comic novel, and it's also obviously a romance novel. It's got romance. That's what it's aimed at. It was aimed at readers between 18 and 28, basically, female readers. That's why I wrote it under Kate Clemens, because when people see my name, they expect a more serious literary fiction, historical fiction, and I thought those people would be disappointed, and the other readers wouldn't find it. So I now have an alternate life as Kate Clemens. I get fan mail in both of my names, and there are probably more personalities in there that I will discover as life goes on. And there was no secret that this was me. My real name, I mean, I pictured everything's in the back cover, so it's not like I was writing porn and, you know, not trying to take advantage of it. I talked to marketing, I talked to my agent, we decided it was a better choice. Okay. Here's The Horses at the Gate. Do I have that? No, I don't have that. That's the middle novel in here. And this is a novel about old Europe. And once again, it's historical fiction. How many of you know what happened in 4368 BCE? Probably not a lot of you. There was a vast invasion off the steppes of the Ukraine into Europe that brought sky gods and the horse into Europe, genocide, organized warfare, and all sorts of things into a Europe that was basically agricultural and peaceful. Not a complete paradise. This is not, you know, Paradise Lost entirely, but it's a very close parallel in a way to what happened in the New World when the Spanish invaded with their horses and their superior war technology. And so I need to say something about this because nobody knows about it. And I did immense research here. One of the nice things about having a PhD is that people give you, they teach you how to do research, right? So I'm good at that. Here we go. The Horses at the Gate. This is the second novel in the Earth Song trilogy. The year is 4368 BCE, and old Europe is falling apart as bands of nomad raiders sweep relentlessly closer to the peaceful city of Shara. Mara, the priestess queen of the city, has always abhorred killing, but now, with the nomads almost at the gate, there seems to be no other choice. Can her lover Stavan, a nomad who has abandoned a place of honor among his own people to ally himself with the mother goddess, teach the Sharans how to defend themselves before the nomads arrive? Will Mara's own initiation into the cult of the Dark Mother give her the spiritual power she needs to save her people? Time is running out, the enemy is drawing nearer, the very survival of the goddess people is at stake, and there are no easy choices. And then I included a quote from my earlier book from Maria Gimbutas, who was the great researcher on this field, that says, Mary Mackey combines a researcher's precision with storytelling magic. And I just put that down at the bottom.
Can I have copies of that one?
No, I don't have any copies of that one. But you know what? They used it almost intact as the jacket back copy of the book. In fact, you're going to see, if you actually look at the books, and you know, and you don't even have to buy them to look at them. Of course, I prefer you did, but you don't have to. You can look at back covers and things on Amazon for these books. You'll see these things are almost word for word. Yeah.
This two-paragraph plot summary sounds like something that can be part of a query letter. Is that different?
Yes. It's the idea of putting it in when you have a query letter. Yes, that's what I meant to get an agent. Yes. When you're querying, I mean, I don't query editors directly. I have an agent. when you have an agent, you say, here's my plot here. I have just written a book. Here's my plot. You know, here's what it's about. This is your plot summary. Would you like to see more? Yeah. And, you know, with a little luck, you'll get, yes. Here is and this once again. Okay. How long? That filled the book. They then asked me for a slightly longer summary, and they wanted the whole trilogy to be set out. And this is a proposal for an entire trilogy of three novels. Mm-hmm. Now, the first, it's two pages. Kind of. The first novel has already been written, so I don't have to summarize it. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you.